Welcome to the Fam Podcast. I'm Kevin Phillips. I'm so excited to get to spend time with you talking about our kingdom movement opportunities. In the next several episodes, we're going to be taking a look at Fam's movement drivetrain, how you can get postured to go after the kingdom movement opportunity that God has put before you. In today's episode, we're going to look at Fam and how Fam has acquired and maintained the proper mindset to go after the kingdom movements that God is putting before us in our harvest field. Then we're going to talk about you and how you can acquire and maintain the proper mindset that you're going to need to go after that kingdom movement opportunity that he's laid before you. So let's get into it today. I hope you enjoy it and go after that kingdom movement opportunity. Welcome to the Fam Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Phillips, Fam's founder and president. And my co-host is with me today, Derek Schuschler, our Director of Mobilization.
Hey, everybody. It's good to be back here for our fifth episode today.
Yes. I'm loving it, man. We've been having a blast with these, just telling our story, getting the word out, and inviting partners to participate with us in the Great Commission and kingdom movements everywhere God would take us in the world. Now, today, we're talking about something special. We are talking about helping people get postured for a movement, postured for a kingdom movement opportunity that God would be laying before him.
Yep. And what it's going to take. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about how we have at Fam and how they, the listeners, can or should shape some choices around getting a proper mindset for a kingdom movement.
You bet. You know, when you start to shape choices around a concept and even consider something like, what's the kingdom movement? Really, by definition, as we talked about in two episodes, what's this opportunity that God is really putting before me? There are a lot of choices that start to approach and start to shape up around our life that we have to answer.
Yeah, and in a lot of ways, mindset is the beginning, right? It's the starting place for a lot of things. And so when we think about mindset, you can think about things two different ways, right? So you can think about things positively or you can think about it negatively when you go into something.
You can approach something like a kingdom movement opportunity with faith, or you can approach it with fear.
Yeah, yeah. You can approach something with obedience in mind or maybe disobedience in mind.
Yeah, you can look at the opportunity and say, I'm going at it, but with limited thinking, a limited mindset, or coming at it with a limitless mindset when you're thinking of that.
Sure. Similar to that, I think a lot of times we can approach something with scarcity mindset or mentality or a abundance mentality.
I think that's really key. I mean, that plays out so important. Because the mindset that we go into something with, I think it determines the outcomes more than anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
So we need to really be conscious of all these ways we approach it, see what's before us, and check our understanding of the mindset we have as we get ready to approach it.
So for you, when you were starting Fam back in the day, when you were shaping choices about our strategy and where we want to go, who we want to be, what were some of those things that you had to retool, to shape your choices around as you're growing out for this?
Yeah, the choices came fast. And I think what was bringing them to the front was the need in the harvest fields we were going to. And somehow, by the Holy Spirit, just by experience, by blessing or luck, we realized, okay, before we get off into it, man, the current mindset that we've been developing for 15 years of ministry in the Western church, in a church growth model, that mindset is not going to be sufficient for the needs of the harvest fields we're going to. So I just knew, okay, if I take that with me into this, we're going to get diminishing returns. We're going to miss the mark. We're not going to see what needs to happen for those harvest fields. So with that, there was a willingness to change that came up that challenged old paradigms and opened me to new ones.
Sure.
And then I said, okay, if I'm going to get a new mindset, I got to start reading something different. So what I was reading changed, who I spent time with changed, my mentors had to be realigned. I mean, really, the best words I can describe it, Derek, is I just kind of had this idea of, so I have to change my default. You know I'm going to get out there in the harvest fields and the going's going to get tough. I'm going to have to make wise and sometimes immediate decisions that are going to alter the direction of how we're going in making disciples and establishing the church and how we're raising up and developing leaders. So I have to change my default. I want to be able that when the going gets tough, I'm reacting with that proper mindset. So I had to change the patterns of thinking in my brain. So one of the ways I did that was I was reading a book on church planting movements, and I loved it. I didn't even have the whole book. I'd have like a PDF excerpt of
the article. Yeah.
Yeah, the article. And I'm reading it up and reading it up, and I took the universal elements and I took the practical handles and the obstacles and I put them on flashcards. You've seen these. Mm-hmm. You've seen the original ones. And I put them on flashcards and I would drill myself like we did our multiplication tables. I'm drilling myself. I'd have my wife drill me, you know, she'd give me to them. I thought, I'm just doing this to change my default, reroute patterns in my thinking. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in the crucible of ministry, I react with a movement mentality.
Yep.
I'm falling on the right mental paradigm so that it keeps us going in the direction we need, because that's what the harvest fields are demanding. That's what's necessary. So those are some of the reasons I was like, okay, I'm willing to change. I see the need for it, right? But how do I change my default?
Yeah, it's kind of like with that baseball analogy we used last episode where we're talking about the posture and getting into the posture. I've had so many coaches that were like, you got to repetition and practice. And I don't know how many swings you take every batting practice, you know, where you got to build these muscle memories for the swing to be at the right angle and all that kind of stuff. And that's kind of what you're trying to do, right?
You don't have time to think when you're in the batter's box. Huh. You don't have time to think about all the mechanics that it's going to take. You have to fall on that memory. That's what I was thinking for our field.
Yeah. You know? Yep. So what personal and maybe ministry commitments did you have to make when you're setting out to know that this mindset's got to be there? How did you make those commitments to get to that?
Yeah. So I'm looking at a kingdom movement opportunity in front of me, and I know I have to get the proper mindset. So I'm developing that. I'm cultivating that. I'm rerouting things. Yep. I'm learning. I'm reading a different. I'm changing those defaults. And practically it played out. I said, okay, with this new acquisition, I want to maintain it with some values. And these values I'm going to bring with me in the field. And one of those from, I mean, these are so old. They're like, before I even went my first time in those Middle Eastern labor camps, these are values we established. And one value was, with this new mindset, with the harvest fields in front of us, the value I'm going to take in is, I will do nothing among them that they can't do themselves. Mm. So I won't bring anything in with me that they won't and can't, wouldn't be able to bring either.
That's reproducibility, but to almost the next level.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was like, okay, even to the point of my personality. Since everyone has a unique personality, if I do my ministry so heavy on my own personality, well, then they can't do it. They don't have my personality, right? Mm-hmm. It's not reproducible. So I had to tone my own personality down, deny myself of my old bag of tricks of ministry that I'd been developing for 15 years, and not only retool my brain, but retool my hands and my feet and my heart about how I do what I do. So that was value number one. I'm only going to do what they can do. And I think it really paid off for us well. The second one's tied to it. Second value was, what I do when I get there, I want to do it in such a way that when they see me do it, when I do it unto them, they not only say, I can do it. I can do what he did. First, they got to say that. I can do what he did. But I want them to be able to feel and be empowered to the point where they say, I can do it. And I can do it better than he did.
How would they do it better?
Yeah, I have cultural knowledge KP doesn't have. I have language acquisition KP doesn't. I'm an insider. I have background similar that KP doesn't have.
Yeah.
I can do what he did, but you know what? I can do it better than he did. And that was the two values that were driving the mindset we had, how we practically played it out so that we could truly seize that kingdom movement opportunity that God gave us there in the Middle East.
Yeah. Movement mentality is what we're after.
That's right.
So what does it mean to pursue ministry with a movement mentality? And it might differ for some of the audience who come in with a different mindset, but what does it mean for us to pursue ministry with a movement mentality?
You know, I think it means thinking like a missionary. When we approach our ministry, when we approach our harvest fields, we're thinking like a missionary. We're thinking apostolically. I'll be so bold enough to say we're thinking like an apostle. We're thinking like a sent one to go in and seize that kingdom movement opportunity in our harvest fields.
Yeah, even that language, sent one, I mean, that conjures movement to me.
Yeah, and that's its own mindset.
Yeah.
Am I a static one or am I a sent one? And so, you know, there's a lot of different ways to think. There's a lot of different mindsets for approaching the Great Commission. And many people, they approach it with the mindset of, I'm a shepherd.
Yeah.
And I have shepherd gifts. I have a shepherd role. I have a shepherd business card. I have a shepherd office. I'm a shepherd.
That's how the Great Commission is going to go forward, is me pursuing my shepherding gifts.
Yeah, but there's another mindset. And that's to be, I'm a shepherd of shepherds. Mm. And it's a mindset shift. You know, some approach the Great Commission as an administrator. I am administrating. I'm an administrator. And another mindset is I come at it like a leader. I'm a general leading an army into battle.
Okay.
So with these mindsets, what I've come to learn is we need both. Mm. It's not a one or the other. Mm-hmm. It's a both and. And when I'm studying the scriptures over the last 2 or 3 years and looking at these concepts, I see that apostolic teams and apostolic networks are made up of both shepherds and shepherds of shepherds, right? They're made up of pastoral gifted teachers and leaders and apostolic gifted entrepreneurial driving the ball forward type guys. Right. But we need both. And one of the greatest things missing in really seizing these kingdom opportunities is realizing that we're being aligned as an apostolic team and making sure that the right people with specialized gifts are in the right place with the proper mindset.
Right. So if we are after a kingdom movement, that's what we're after, then the proper mindset is a movement mentality.
That's exactly right. It is a movement mentality, the mentality that leads you into lostness.
Okay. Yeah.
It leads you into multiplication. And it's the mindset, the movement mentality that truly leads us into that kingdom movement opportunity.
So, KP, you've been spending years developing this and developing not just in yourself, but in your team and in me and in others, coaching others on it. But what advice, what tips, admonishments would you give to anybody, any of our listeners who want to acquire and maintain that movement mentality?
That's the key words right there. Acquire and maintain. Mm. Let's drop down as we get into some bite-sized tips here in a minute. Let me stretch that question out a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's say that some of our listeners are church planters in a North American context. Mm-hmm. The temptation, what I've seen, witnessed, and been on teams, is that they acquired a movement mentality, a proper mindset to pioneer it, but then when a certain level of establishment came, it was abandoned and shifted into a different mindset.
Right.
And to have its own sense of returns that comes with it. Mm-hmm. So let's say we have pastor, teacher, shepherds that are listening right now, and they're like, okay, so what's the mindset for me?
Yeah.
And what's the tips going to be there for that is continue to think, acquire and maintain the proper mindset.
Yeah.
Right. Let's say we have aspiring missionaries that are saying, okay, what's God doing in this welling up of this calling within me to send me forth to the unreached? Mm. Hey, in your preparation, acquire and maintain a movement mentality that's going to be essential for the need you're going to find in the harvest field you're at. So with those things in mind, just kind of posturing the audience, I want to give some bite-sized points and tips that'll be helpful to anyone who has a vision to see a kingdom movement opportunity in their harvest fields. And go ahead.
Just to clarify, I mean, you already said the shepherds and shepherd of shepherds. We need both.
Definitely,
we need these pastors, evangelists, teachers. We need them.
Yeah.
But everyone who's pursuing that kingdom movement opportunity, not just the missionaries.
Yeah.
But everybody's got to have that same mentality.
Everyone having the same proper mindset of a movement mentality, and then exercising your gifts in your role, pushing within forward that. As an apostolic team.
Yeah.
Developing that apostolic network. In scripture, we see both. We see them in concerts for decades and decades working together.
Yep.
We don't want to abandon that. We want to embrace it. And that's what I see in some of these bite-sized points is to acquire and maintain it. We see that in Paul's team. Okay. And really all throughout the New Testament, throughout Acts, throughout the epistles, we get some insights into how that team operated. But somehow, some way, when Paul would come into a community or into a region, and they would establish churches, we know they had that mindset going in, but they were able to maintain that mindset throughout. Even into 65 AD, Paul's speaking to Timothy and these things, you know, driving that same mindset and hoping to maintain it in Timothy's life, even maybe 2 decades in their relationship and their walk out as an apostolic team. They acquired it for sure. I mean, Paul acquired it, you know, early. Mm. And shared it along, but they maintain that mindset. So to help with that and just admonish our listeners to going after that kingdom movement opportunity, how do you acquire and maintain a movement mentality? I want to give a few insights that we've gleaned over the years of looking at Paul and his teams and the local churches they interacted with, what they shared and crisscrossed in and out of those. Mm-hmm. And here's the first one. It is to look and keep looking at your harvest fields with apostolic missionary eyes.
Okay. Look and keep looking.
Look and keep looking. Mm. Don't look and then change your lenses. Mm-hmm. Look at your harvest fields and keep looking at them. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like how churches would do when they would put that sign over the door leaving the auditorium. Now you enter your mission field.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of trying to evoke this, that don't dull your eyes. Don't change your lenses. Mm. Maintain, look and keep looking at your harvest fields with missionary eyes. Just think how that changes a local pastor when he stops looking at his fields with missionary eyes, his whole role changes.
Yep.
Maintain that vision, right, for the community with apostolic missionary
eyes. It can shift from looking to the harvest fields to looking to your flock and only your flock, which that needs to be part of the shepherding, but we have to maintain that looking.
You bet.
Keep looking.
Each role may have a primary gaze, but for all of us, we need to be looking and keep looking with missionary eyes. Here's the second one. Tip, a kind of a bite-sized tip, is to think and keep thinking multiplication over addition.
Okay, multiplication over addition.
Yeah, to think about it and then keep thinking, right? Multiplication over addition, never satisfied, never lulling myself, never accepting.
Yeah,
I'm just going to have an addition-based ministry. I'm going to think and keep thinking multiplication over addition, not just when I'm trying to get this church plant off the ground, but in the duration and life of our local body, our team, when we go in, we're trying to get this team in this unreached people group. Yeah. No, we're going to think and we're going to keep thinking multiplication over addition. Third one, we're going to sow and keep sowing the gospel abundantly.
Sow and keep sowing.
That's it.
Abundantly.
Yeah, that's it. Mm. I think one of the greatest needs as I travel around North America is for abundant gospel sowing. When we're like, why don't we see happen here what we see happen in other places around the world? I think it's simple. Mm. We're just not sowing as much seed. But for our harvest fields, if you really want to seize that kingdom movement opportunity, get in the right posture, be thinking apostolically, thinking like a missionary, thinking multiplication over addition, and sow and keep sowing. Don't give up on it. Mm-mm. It's not an early tactic to raise up a congregation. No, it is a perpetual tactic that we are saturating our communities with gospel abundantly. Mm. So, and the last one is, and I'll slow down just a little bit, is guard your heart. Mm. You know, if you really want to maintain and acquire that movement mentality, man, I'm telling you, guard your heart. Mm. David Garrison, he recognized very well in his church planting movement book that in all of movements similar to what I'm talking about, missionaries suffer. Mm. And so when you are approaching it with a movement mentality, you're seeking to acquire that and maintain it, people suffer in that.
Yeah.
Because we are disrupting the kingdom of darkness. So my last bite-sized little tip to acquire it and maintain it, you're going to have to guard your heart.
Yeah.
Because everything in the kingdom of darkness wants to rob you of that movement mentality, wants to dull you from that mindset, wants to dilute you in that kind of thinking.
Yep.
So how do you acquire it? How do you maintain it? Well, you acquire it by getting into the scriptures, changing your default. You maintain it by looking and keep looking, thinking and keep thinking, sow and keep sowing, and never forget, guard your heart. I want to go to the scriptures before we start trailing down the end of the podcast, because this guard the heart is so important for the maintaining of that movement mentality.
Yeah.
I would say it's easy to acquire it, but it's a lot easier to lose it than it was to maintain.
To get satisfied, to get static,
So many things are fighting against us, but I like what one apostolic leader said to another apostolic leader much later in their life, coaching and preparing for an apostolic journey Timothy was about to go on back to the city of Ephesus to help them, work with them, guide them, you know, do everything that he could do to undergird and strengthen and stabilize that work. I love these words that Paul shared with him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5 through 8. Okay. He says, "But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and discharge all the duties of your ministry. Hmm. Now, I love that. I mean, so many people are like, how can I maintain this movement mentality for all those outside my church and outside my role or responsibilities to be looking at the harvest fields around me with missionary eyes when I have so many duties that are internal I'm supposed to do? Paul was aware of that. Mm. And he's like, hey, discharge all your duties faithfully, but never take your eyes off the do the work of an evangelist. But that's hard. Yeah, endure hardship. Guard your hearts, right? Keep your head in all situations. So if this were a coin we could flip, there's a negative side to it that we guard against, mm-hmm. and there's a positive side that we guard for.
The guarding against. Yeah. What are some of those things that we see?
Sure. We guard against the status quo. Mm. Man, to maintain a movement mentality, even just to acquire it, and then to maintain it, you got to guard your heart against the status quo.
Yeah.
The status quo is saying, hey, ease back, relax. What are you getting? So just roll with the punches here, you know. Guard your heart against the status quo. Another one is guard your heart against a survival mentality. Mm. You know, to acquire a movement mentality and to maintain it, it's going to be very difficult if you have to survive through it.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any sense of greed, if there's any sense of, I've got to get mine, if there's any sense of climbing the ladder, if there's any sense of corruption, financially, morally, it's going to be real hard to maintain that. So guard your heart, right, against the status quo, against the survival mentality, against the plots of Satan and the fiery darts that he throws at our hearts. And guard your heart against living static rather than sent lives.
Sure.
Man, I don't see anybody in the scriptures God was calling to live static. I mean, Jesus is on the move. The church is on the move. If we're going to be part of it, we got to be on the move. Mm-hmm. So I say to our friends, if you want to acquire and maintain that movement mentality to go after your kingdom movement opportunity, guard your heart against living static lives.
Losing your first love.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to say it. Yeah.
So those are the against, right?
Yeah.
Static. Getting satisfied with the status quo, all of those things are things we're guarding our heart against, but we're also guarding our heart for.
Betcha.
So what are we guarding our heart
for? Yeah, I love that. That's the positive side of it. And Paul goes right back to Timothy as he's saying, keep your head in all situations. Mm-hmm. Endure hardships, right?
So do
the work
come.
Of an evangelist. Discharge all your duties because you have to guard your heart for something. Mm. You know, a lot of times we tend to focus on the negative, what not to do.
Don'ts, yep.
But Paul says, hey, guard your heart for these things. He says it like this in verse 6, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only for me, but also for all who have longed for his appearing. Man, I love that. And what I hear in this is Paul saying, guard your heart for the faith.
Yeah.
Guard your heart for the good fight. Guard your heart for the award, the crown of righteousness that I will bestow on all those, right, for living that good and faithful life. And then I love the last part. He says, and guard your heart for my appearing, right? Guard your heart for my appearing. Man, when we seek to maintain that missionary gaze, maintain that view through the eyes of Jesus at the harvest fields he's called it to stay postured to go after a movement, we got to guard our heart. Mm-hmm. There's so much great things to guard our heart for, and it's beautiful. You say, well, that was Paul. No, Paul said, not only for me, but for all who have longed for his appearing. And I want to say to our listeners right now, is that you? Mm. Do you long for the appearing of the Lord, right? Then fight the good fight. Guard your heart for the fight. Guard your heart for the faith. Guard your heart for the crown of righteousness. Guard your heart for the appearing of the Lord. There's so much to guard our hearts for.
Yeah.
So open up your eyes, look at the fields, and get in there and seize the kingdom movement opportunity that God has laid out before you. I love getting to share a little of my journey with you and what God's doing in our lives and through FAM. And I hope it's an encouragement and a stepping stone to you as you pursue that kingdom movement opportunity that God's putting before your heart. Remember, gear number one is kicking the whole thing off with the proper mindset, a movement mentality. I want to give you a challenge of personal development, of a sense of your onus to get in this thing. And there's three parts to it. Number one, to say, I want to change my default. I want to see and keep seeing with missionary apostolic eyes. Number two, I want you to take a personal onus of development to say, I want to react with a movement orientation. What needs to happen, what I need to study, what I need to do to acquire that when the going gets tough, I react with movement-oriented principles. And the third is I want to grow in my own leadership in service to the King and His kingdom. I want to grow from a doer to a coach to a super equipper and get in the best posture I can with the right mindset for a kingdom movement opportunity. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast today. We love getting a chance to share it with you. Hope it's an encouragement, building you up. Hey, drop us a message, send us a review. Go ahead and subscribe so you can get updated every month when these fam podcasts drop. We'll see you next time. Now go and be dangerous for Jesus.